Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks so much for taking time to be with us tonight on this week's version of Raising Expectations. You know what we're all about. We want you to be encouraged and strengthened and to start the week with a bang, knowing that God's got something special for you, and you can do it as you listen to Him and follow through. And hopefully we encourage you each week with something very special. Now, tonight, you probably know we have one of your favorite people that we are privileged to have with us on our program, and that is Richard Ray from Fox 4 News in Dallas, who's now retired. And I tell you, he's just doing all kinds of exciting things, and you're going to hear all about those things in just a moment. But as I always do, because I get texts and emails each week asking and directing attention to this, they love the Raising Expectations team, and I do too. I'm blessed to know them as my personal friends, and I'm going to introduce tonight to you, as you may know, Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, and as we so often say here on Raising Expectations, not a retired theologian. He's still theologing each week, whatever that word means. Doesn't that sound impressive? So we use it. That's not in Webster's, but it's in the Hall Schofield Dictionary, so it comes in really good.
Sorry, we're late. Computer issue.
We did. And just landing on the deck of the Raising Expectations carrier, there's Commander Rob and his wife, Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
And Nancy got a promotion last week, folks, because I think it was Charles Lingerfeld who ran for Congress there in Dallas and is so well known in the Republican quarters. He said she is now called also Commander Nancy. And Rob gave the green light. Sounded good.
She's the real commander.
Sounds good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
she's the commanding officer of USS Hanson.
There you go.
That's just how things roll around here.
Man, yeah. We're certainly glad you're here. And folks, as you know, we just love this team. These are great, wonderful people. You won't meet any nicer people anywhere than those who are part of this Raising Expectation team. Now, we also have, as you know, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer, and they moved to Dalton, Georgia, north of Atlanta, and she is still a health and wellness coach and known across the nation for helping people not just with their physical health and what to eat, which is inclusive of fudge on Christmas, so we keep her on the program, but also she does a great job helping you discover who you are, because she's a great woman of faith, as is her husband, who is a trauma surgeon, and he's the guy you want taking care of you if there's ever a tremendous need that way. And I'm hoping they're at the big Boy Scout thing. They're national leaders with that in Georgia right now. And they're hoping they're going to be able to check in with us. They're pretty sure they can. So they're trying on that. So that's the team. You know us. And we just love getting to know you each and every week as you tune into Raising Expectations. Somebody asked me to say this, Rob. It was interesting. They said, you know, we don't get to watch it when it's live, but we tune it in on the website during the week. So we'll announce you can tune into the Raising Expectations website. You'll see a little later, and just go in the archives and you can watch this week's program all week long, anytime you want, up to 2,416 times. After that, we charge you a lot. So right now you can just go right ahead and tune it in. All right. Hey, let's introduce our guest tonight, who is probably watching all of us and saying, you know, that's quite a motley crew.
They're insane. Yes.
We have the best time. The people who tune into this program just love being a part of it. Richard Ray, as you know, he's done so many things in television and radio and reporting and reaching out and helping people in times of need. He was with Fox 4 News in Dallas. I used to tune him in just about every day, early or usually in the evening news, and see what was going on all across the state and the nation. He's retired now, and God's using him in all kinds of special ways. We can't wait to hear about it tonight. So we'd love to welcome you to Raising Expectations. Richard, you're adopted. You're part of our family. We are blessed to have you with us again, and welcome to Raising Expectations, sir.
Hi, Richard. Welcome back.
Hey, Commander, Doctor, it's always good to see you.
It's not like I'm an admiral or anything, you know? Hey, never wanted that job, but that's a separate issue, so we could talk for hours about that.
For several years in my career, my wife was actually a boss, and she was a middle manager in the news department, and I told people, honestly, that she was the boss at work and at home. So there
you go. Yeah.
So, I mean, Commander USS Hanson, right? So there you go.
Yep.
Works for us. There you go. Richard, tell us something perhaps about, we've been excited about the documentary movie that you've had such a part in bringing out, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, well, and I do want to talk about that, but you know, one thing I really love about coming on this show and talking to you folks is that you're really honestly interested in the missions and ministry work that my wife and I are involved in, and I've talked about that in the previous ones. I got a couple of new ones I want to talk to before we get to the documentary, because the documentary is, I feel like every new job is a new mission field, don't get me wrong, but it's a secular documentary about it. It's a what many people will call a wrongful conviction case, and I'll talk more about that, but God does, as you said, Pastor Joe, God just keeps, you know, putting exciting things in front of me. And I want to tell you about a couple of things that have just happened for kind of recently that since the last time we talked. About a month ago, I was contacted by mutual friends of a pastor here in Dallas. His name is Neil Tomba, T-O-M-B-A, and he's a pastor at a really vibrant church called Northwest Bible Church. But they asked me to MC an event in which he talked about a book release. They had a big party for his book release. Standing room only turnout. It was just a great event, but the book, it just blew me away. And I want to get as many people to know about this book as possible. It's called The Listening Road: One Man's Ride Across America to Start Conversations About God. And 33 days from Southern California to the guy's in tremendous shape, as you can imagine. He's been riding bikes and doing races for years and everything, from all the way to Annapolis, Maryland. And in the process, just meeting people, the book talks about, and I'm reading for the cover here, this is what he wants people to know about it: practical ways to change our posture toward others to foster conversations, why curiosity, kindness, and respect open up communications about God, and how even a culture of division and antagonism, which we all know our culture is in that right now, you can have real connections with people. And just the way he approached these conversations, he didn't tell them he was a pastor, but there's this whole team of people. They're riding across the country. They're stopping. They're talking to people, and they're just engaging them where they are. And of course, it's not surprising they found a lot of people that weren't crazy about the church anymore, but still wanted to learn more about Jesus. Mm. Still were willing to talk about Jesus. And I just, the book is a wonderful book. I wanted to pitch that tonight.
Well, what a concept. Human to human contact.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shocked. I'm mystified. Also, Richard, I just want to clarify, You said he rode a bike 33 days across America, all the way to Annapolis, Baltimore? Yeah,
they were averaging 10 miles a day. And some of this is really rough terrain and stuff. And there was a team of three that made the whole trip. But they had a support group. You know, they had, like, people in vans. They had other people that are doing logistics to get them to the hotel that they had to get to. And they would have flat tires, and they had all sorts of misadventures.
Oh, they stayed in a hotel. That's cheating, right? Yeah. I mean, they should have just been pedaling for 33 days straight, right?
Well, they took 3 days off in 30.
Okay. It's like Forrest Gump running across country, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was really quite an adventure, and I think lots of little miracles happen in this book. I've said for years something I heard from a pastor years ago. If you don't see a miracle every couple of weeks, you're not hanging around with the right kind of people.
Good point.
Hang around Neil Tombaugh, you'll see something.
Good point.
So I was really excited to be involved in that, and I wanted to go out and buy Neil's book, The Listening Road. It's awesome. Just absolutely awesome.
We did a little looking on that today, and it was really exciting. Hey, Paul, you had a couple of thoughts on that. He was really heard a couple of things on it also. Maybe you could share a word with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, and I appreciate, Richard, you pointing this in his direction because, he just seems like to be a really down-to-earth kind of fellow that has to engage people, loves people. And he asked a probing question, and I was thinking about it quite a bit. But he said, when they were grappling with the concept in their church, the question was, "What are we missing as followers?"
Lay down.
So, what are we missing as followers of Jesus? And then he had a phrase, "Where God has us is where Jesus is," and it was really pertinent to some real, in-depth thinking about where we are. We make it so difficult sometimes. And you may want to speak to that just a little bit, because your ministries are really hands-on, nose-to-nose kind of things. So maybe you could give us some insights, interpretation in your own journey, Richard, about that concept of where God has us is where Jesus is,
There's the old secular saying that life is what happens while we're making other plans. We make lots of plans, but God directs our path. And I think we just have to be open to that. Part of my prayer every day is, every mission trip, every new job, a new mission field, everything is an opportunity. And it's what you're talking about, Doctor, is that God puts us in front of people. I've done mission work all over the world, but when God sends us to all peoples and all nations are all around us in America, especially. We're very diverse. And if we keep our eyes open and our minds open, and one of the things that I thought Pastor Neil did so well, and obviously you read some of this too, is there were times that somebody would come out and they'd start talking about karma or something and everything. He was really tempted to say, "You're wrong about that. This is where you're wrong." But I think he's right. God tells us to listen and wait. He'll give us the words. If you open up and if you respect people, even if you disagree with them, even if you think they're wrong about what they're saying, just having the opportunity to open up and talking about, a lot of people call it spirituality. Mm-hmm. For me, it's Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus every chance I get. I think I may have said this on the program before too, that my theology, Dr. Paul, my theology is really simple. Love everybody. Tell them about Jesus every chance you get, and let God do the judging. And I think that's a pretty, I'm not that bright a guy. I can understand that. I think that's what God calls us to do.
Yeah.
And I'm reading The Divine Comedy by Dante, and he breaks down everything between the Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso. And he could not be more clear. I truly believe that after the Bible, Dante's Divine Comedy pretty much lays everything out. And one of his real themes that a lot of people don't get, it's love. And that's where I think a lot of people miss in the Bible what the purpose of the Bible, the purpose of Jesus, and the purpose of especially the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, people don't always really fully understand that. And I look back to my childhood where, you know, we would sing in church, you know, God is love, Jesus is love. And that's really what this is really all about. And it's connecting with other human beings who have an eternal soul, who need to connect to other human beings who also have an eternal soul. And that's, I think, one of the purposes of our whole podcast here. Right, Dr. Joe?
That's it. We're rolling. Amen.
Yeah.
Tell them about Jesus. Amen.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
When you think of that word, you're talking about love there and what it is. There was one thing that Rob and Richard that he said, I talked with Paul today, that really struck me because I like what you said, Richard, about the way he wanted to respond back. He wanted to say something, but yet it's like the Holy Spirit said, no, not yet. I've got this. It's really tough for us to sometimes say, okay, God, you've got this, because we want to get it and take care of it. But he does have it, like Rob's saying there. He said a series of three words that struck me, and it's kind of what you said, Richard. This was neat, Rob. He said, everybody that I met, I wanted to respond kind, curious, and respectful. He used those three words, kind, curious. This is Neil Tombaugh, your pastor. Kind, courteous, and respectful. He said, because where do we connect with Jesus? Basically, he was saying becomes a possibility, which is what I hear you all saying. Once somebody trusts us enough to say they are kind, curious, they are respectful, gee, maybe God is too.
And well, not only that, I think, you know, God commands us to connect with each other in a peaceful, loving way. And I think that's one of the things that we have been very bad at, especially in the U.S. over the last 40 or 50 years. And you're probably seeing it now in the media and politically and in the education system. There just seems to be an awful lot of things going on that divide Americans instead of uniting Americans. And I think one of the most important things about the ability to unite Americans is through our founding, our Constitution, which is all based on divine law. And that was based on the Judeo-Christian history going on for, you know, a couple thousand years. And that's one of the challenges I think we're faced with, is how do you connect a divided America, many of whom are, well, they profess to be atheists, or they profess to be something other than either Christian or Judeo. And that's part of our real challenge now. I mean, how do we unite America? How do we get everybody to, you know, go e pluribus unum? I don't have the answer, but I'd sure like to talk about that more.
Yeah, we could be glad that the Lord does. I mean, I just have come to the place where, like we were saying earlier today, I go back to what the Bible tells us in Psalms, forever, O Lord, thy plans are settled in heaven. So if I can do, and I haven't read the book yet. This looks like a great book, huh, folks? The Listening Road. But if I can be kind, show a curious attitude and a respectful attitude and demeanor back, which is not always easy, I know that God could take over and run into that, Richard. Kind of what you were saying there, Richard.
Yeah, and you know, when you read the book, you find out that what somebody just said, both of you kind of said this, but I mean, God doesn't need us. Right. He's got this. Chill out. God's got this. But he gives us opportunities to be involved in the process. And over and over and over again, what you saw in the book was that what Neil really did was start the conversation. The conversation that you, oh, and I'm getting chill bumps about this, because just the way it played out you could tell there's a couple of ex-Marines that they meet early in the book, and they start sharing with Neil because he's being respectful and kind and listening, not trying to preach at them. They start telling him and each other things that they'd never talked about with them each other before. And they're on a road trip, a couple of ex-Marines on a road trip, motorcycles. And you know, the rest of that trip, those guys were talking about Jesus. They right. were finishing, continuing the conversation that Neil started.
Yeah,
because right. Neil right. let God do his work, and he just started it. So that's right. it's really cool.
That's right. Amen.
Well, and again, one of the things most of us don't know is, you know, how grounded were they in the Bible, where how they grew up. Did they grow up in the church, or did something, you know, come to them after a certain age? And I think that is important to know too. That's and you know, you were thinking, you were talking about Neil, and of course, on a motorcycle, I'm thinking of Neil Peart, the late drummer from Rush, who was
motorcycle Harley Davidson. Oh yeah, right there.
He was a biker chick way back in a previous life. But I think, you know, that's one of the things that's important to understand, is where they're coming from and why they chose the beliefs that they did. What was that based on? What was the foundation? Did they grow up, you know, in the church, or did they not? And then find a way, I guess, through their lives, because I think most people who are not necessarily grounded in the church find it to be very, very difficult to find their way in life, because there's no grounding other than through Christ, through the church. And it's easy for us to talk about this, but it's difficult for those who are searching still and are trying to find their way in life and are trying to figure out, you know, their eternal soul, which is there, and we know that, and how they can be saved. And we all know the answer to that too. I mean, that's the one of the biggest problems I see that we're faced with as Christians, without, you know, being told that, oh, we're so judgmental, we're just, you know, we're so bad because, you know, people think of us as without sin. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And that's one of the biggest things you have to overcome too, is like these preconceived conclusions that a lot of these people have.
That's how Neil would start the conversations off, and just ask them what their background was.
Yeah.
And we found a lot of people who were raised in the church and had fallen away. They'd fallen out of love with the church, but they were still really interested in Jesus. And I find that often too. I tend to call myself a follower of Jesus instead of a Christian. Mm-hmm. Not because there's anything wrong with the word Christian, but follower of Jesus speaks more truly to a lot of people than if you call yourself a Christian. You've already kind of labeled yourself as, you know, probably Republican, probably Western, probably, you know, a lot of different things. But if you just keep pointing to Jesus,
that's right.
That is more effective.
And that's important. I mean, both Nancy and I, we don't walk around and label ourselves, or when we're talking to people, we don't mention we're Christians. We just kind of walk around as normal, regular human beings, and we put on our radar and listening mode and listen to people and what they're thinking, what they're talking about. And then on social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or, you know, Instagram, it's interesting because a lot of times people sort of expose themselves for who they are. And most of the time it's based on ignorance, misunderstanding. And that's where, you know, our biggest challenge is without pushing Christianity and biases and preconceived notions, we need to make sure as human beings that we listen to others, try to understand where they're coming from, and then maybe kind of help guide them, however, you know, subtly and quietly. But again, ultimately, it's up to them. And many times we find, unfortunately, that most of those folks, especially those who weren't raised in the church, don't either want to be saved or are pre-programmed to be destined in Dante's Inferno to those nether regions, and they don't really understand that now. And that's really tragic.
But okay, let me speak for a minute. I got a Harley shirt for my birthday, so this is great.
It's Glenn Hansen.
My wife's birthday's today.
No, it was on Wednesday. But anyway, the thing is, we rode bikes. We rode bikes for causes. You rode bikes for, make.
Well, you went to Sturgis.
Well, I did. I know, but you also ride bikes for the Boy Scouts. You do it to raise money for charities. Mm-hmm. You do this. So, I don't care what people say about bikers. Mm-hmm. Most bikers are like old now, but they are very patriotic. Yep. They will ride for funerals and all that stuff. So
the Vietnam bikers. Vietnam bikers.
We do Boy Scouts runs. We do, all kinds of stuff. Girl Scouts, all kinds of that stuff. So, there's a prejudice for that. And here I am, I'm 63 years old. But, it's still, I have a lot of friends that still do this. But they do this, to get money for charities and stuff like that. So I hope people don't, if you see a guy on a Harley or any kind of motorcycle, it's like, they're not bad people. These are people that really love their country and they just are trying to, help other people as well. I know this is totally out of the realm of what we're talking about, but I just wanted to say that.
I think it's the conceptions we're talking about. And if I'm reading Neil Tombaugh right, again, I haven't read the book yet, but I think that's what you're saying in line. He just, those words, kind, curious, and respectful, like you're addressing. I think all of us, Richard, we get to a certain age, we put up a wall around ourselves. We put up a wall of preconceived notions, or we put up a wall where we've been bombed or hurt or attacked. Psychologists, we could use a lot of names right now, what we've studied, but putting all the Kool-Aid aside for a moment and just looking at this, the love of God as proven through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. All you got to do is just put it there and let the Holy Spirit do the rest, like he said on those bikes. Amen. God will touch and change your heart. Our job is to love and be kind and to reach out this way. We may not agree on everything, but when we give the love of God this way, what a difference it makes. And I'm looking at the book and looking at Neil Tombaugh. First of all, hats off to a guy who can ride his bike all the way across the country. Oh, my goodness, Paul. You and I could do that across town with a rope, maybe.
But it's easier for a Harley guy to ride his bike all across the country. Doesn't take that long. Mm-hmm. But for a real bicycler to do that, I have a whole lot of respect for that.
For a reason. Richard, tell us about that. Yeah.
This all occurs to me too. One of my favorite quotes that's not in the Bible is, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here too. Dr. Paul, there seems to be debate about where did that, who actually should we attribute that quote to? Do you know?
I don't want to give the wrong. I know that quote, and I read who said it, but I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Well, I've seen that. I think there's debate about it. I think St. Augustine. I know I've heard different people, but I love the quote, and I think it speaks to the same thing. That by loving people, by just showing people the love of Jesus, and Jesus said, "They will know you by your love." Mm-hmm. That's the most effective way to preach the gospel. If you show people that you really care about them, you maybe disagree with what the conclusions they're at now, but you're willing to listen and just get the discussion going. Because funerals, for example, I've always thought one of the most effective places to reach people is at funerals, because they're faced with the loss of a life, loss of a loved one. They're faced with the fact that we all are one day going to meet our maker. Maybe that's the time when, if you can show them a little love and put Jesus in their heart and give them a place to go for hope and the faith that we have, that's a great place to do it.
There was a girl I grew up with in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who is an artist, and she is very skeptical about the Bible. And she said, well, she read the Bible from front to back, and she still doesn't get it. And I wrote back to her and I said, well, you know, the Bible isn't something that you can read like a normal book. You know, you can't start at the beginning and then go to the end and possibly understand everything that's there. It's going to take a long time. It's going to require sort of a thought process and a biblical study group that may understand more than you. And I think, you know, that's part of the hubris I think we're dealing with in America, where people think they know everything there is to know, and they don't want to listen to anything that isn't part of their world preconceived conclusion. And I think that's part of the problem we deal with, is humility. I think people need to start being a little more humble about understanding that they really don't know everything, yet many of them believe that they do know everything and won't listen to anybody that tells them that, you know, you might want to look at things in a little different way, because they've already decided they have all the answers. They don't want to listen to anybody else that doesn't fit their worldview. And I think in a lot of ways, our podcast here is trying to get through to those people to make them, well, hopefully more humble, and also to make them realize, as human beings, we're all very similar in a lot of ways. And we're all sinners
from different walks of life as well.
Well, yeah. And different education levels, different life experiences and so forth. And that's one of the biggest challenges I think we have, is to get through to those people to help them understand, first of all, that you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have all the answers, and you won't, even if you think you do. And a lot of humility goes a long way. And that's one of the problems I think we've faced here when we read a lot of things online, on Twitter, on Facebook. There's a lot of arrogance there, and that's a tough nut to crack, because they don't want to listen. They don't want to open their minds, and yet they're supposed to be open and tolerant. But, you know, go figure.
Yeah, Rob, if we're reading this right, I think that Neil Tomba's point is just spot on what you're saying, what we're all saying, and that is simply that the love of God pierces every heart. Mm-hmm. It's the word and the gentle love of God. It's the kindness. It's the curious, respectful understanding that he shares on that bike. And I tell you, that's the kind of thing that goes through, because we're facing all the things you guys are saying, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Richard, you got a thought on that? And then I'm going to take a break. One last thought, because we are sure this is really interesting.
The only thing I would say is that we got to remember that we're not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit does the work. We just get to be part of it. You know, and if we can show love to somebody, then maybe they'll realize that all Christians aren't hypocrites. If we can show them kindness, that's all we can. That's why I say I boiled it down after all these years. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. Love everybody. Tell them about Jesus every chance you get, and let God do the judging.
Well, yeah, and we're not perfect. We're just forgiven.
Amen. That's it. Hey, I got to jump in real quick for a second. Keep those motors running. Don't cool them down. This is good.
But we're not down the highway.
Yeah,
well, that's definitely.
Yeah. Okay, write that down. Write that down. That'll sell.
Give me a bandana.
Yeah, get a bandana, sweetie.
we've got a word to say here for a great young couple, Richard. Joe Duran has a company he has started named with his dad and his wife. It's a family business. 4D Financial Help, and he's moved from Texas, Richard. He's moved up to the great state of Ohio from one great spot to another. He's getting closer to New York, huh, Nancy? But
no comment. Don't go any further.
Stay where you are. Well, Joe is one of the greatest guys you can ever meet. A great young man, loves God, loves his family, and he has 4D financial help. And very quickly, I want you to know, if you're saving for retirement, if you're looking for educational funding for your kids, if you have income protection, if you're looking to build your financial future in any way, shape, or form, Joe's company is the one that will help you. The guy is a man of faith. He loves God. And when you have somebody who loves God like we do, he has great insight. And you got two people talking to him instead of one. That comes in really, really handy. I want to give you his phone number. So write this down. And if you don't have a pen, if you're listening with your wife, show her how quick you are to remember. And if not, write it on your hand. Exactly.
Somewhere.
You can get a hold of Joe in Canton, Ohio. And we've got a lot of listeners up in the Ohio area. Mm-hmm. Canton, Ohio. His number is 832-308-7631. Let me repeat that for you. That is 832-308-7631. 4D Financial. Can't do any better. Joe, God bless you and your sweet family. And I hope a lot of people call and we'll be talking to you later. All right. We're tuned back into to what we're doing here. Hey, Richard, these are what you call high-tech, extremely expensive commercials. Were you able to follow that?
Did you see
all the dollar signs go by?
We wrote it down.
We wrote it down. We don't quite have Fox News backing it yet there, Richard.
That's right. We're hoping for palm readers at this point.
I held the palm one of them. That's as high tech as I've gotten with this thing. So.
You kept holding it up. That'll do it. That'll work. Hold it up there. That'll work for us. Hey, well, Richard, take us on. What else has God been doing? Share some more with us.
Well, okay, I want to just share a little bit more about, and I think we touched on this a little bit earlier too, but if you kind of open to what God's doing and then things start to come together for you. And one of the things that I've been really blessed with in recent years is that one ministry leads into another ministry, which leads that ministry back to help this ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's those cross-pollination going on. And I want to give you an example of that. For years, I've worked with a young pastor down in Peru named Cesar Osejo. In fact, Cesar and his family just arrived. He, his wife, and his child are going to come over and play at our pool tomorrow, and along with another missionary from, he's from India, she's from Colombia. They're going to bring their kids too anyway. But I've worked with him for many years and just love Cesar and his wife, Maji. And little Cesar, but about a year and a half ago, he tells me about he's hooked up with a ministry in Dallas called Wonder Voyage. Now, Cesar, I've always had a heart for tent ministry, tent maker ministries. Apostle Paul was a tent maker; he made his own living, that kind of thing. So, I had encouraged, actually lent money, invested in Cesar. Cesar's he's a real entrepreneur now. He's got a travel business. He's got a guest house. He's got a translation business. He employs 40 or 50 people. It's just an awesome story. But as part of his travel business, he got hooked up with Wonder Voyage. Now, if you're interested in this, any church that is looking for turnkey missions or any group that's looking for turnkey missions, Sean Small and Wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, Voyage, VOYAGE.com. Wonder Voyage sets up trips all over the country and all over the world. And they take care of all the logistics. You just got to take your team and your leaders and go, and they take care of all that. Well, the reason Wonder Voyage got hooked up with Cesar's because Cesar's got this travel business down there and he's worked with mission teams before. Okay. So I'm hooked up with Wonder Voyage and Sean Small, who's based right here in Dallas. He lives like 10 miles. And I love Sean. He's a great guy. He's got a great thing going. You know, they got hurt by COVID like everybody else. Well, another missions ministry that I'm involved with is a wife and a husband who are up in Alaska. Mark Hargrave and his wife, Cheryl Lynn, are with CEF Alaska, and it's a children's ministry. They go out into remote villages and teach about Jesus and that kind of thing. In fact, my wife and I and 10 other of our friends are going up there in 10 days. Mark and Charlene, who grew up there, have designed this whole trip, because we've done the cruises before, but we've never done the interior. So we're going to do all the bear watching and Denali and all this kind of stuff.
Cool.
And Mark and Charlene have set it all up for us. So I'm thinking, Sean Small and Wonder Voyage need to know about CEF Alaska and Mark and Charlene. So now I'm in the process of getting them hooked up together, where hopefully, and it looks like it's going to happen, they can again become partners with Wonder Voyage, and it can be something they do on the side as a tent ministry. So I just wanted to, you know, that's the same kind of thing we've been doing with Ndoto.org, Ndoto.org for Africa's Future. Mm-hmm. The couple that runs that, they're also in town. They're going to come stay at our house for a couple of weeks later this month. So all these things kind of, if you kind of keep, if you just let God lead you, things like this happen, and it is so fulfilling and enriching to my life and my wife's life to have these different ministries, to have these God children in Alaska, God children and grandchildren in Peru and Alaska, and then to be able to marry them all up with this local guy who's got this wonderful organization that does mission work and sets up mission trips all over the world. It's just, thank you, Lord. It's just wonderful stuff.
Amen.
That's really good. I know a lot of the news over the last day or so has been focused on Cuba. Well, sure. And you know, Cuban citizens are rising up in protest against all the restrictions that they've been up against for the last 60 years or so. And I also know enough about Hispanic people to know they're all serious Roman Catholics. But I also know, too, that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot happening from the U.S. side to support the protests going on in Cuba. And we maybe should consider doing a little bit more supporting of these great folks, many of whom obviously fled to the U.S. And again, a couple weeks ago, we had Rafael Cruz on, who actually got arrested and tortured under the Batista regime before Castro even came in charge. But again, over the last 60 years or so, the poor Cubans have been repressed and have been living in poverty. And now they're starting to rise up and protest without a whole lot of U.S. support. And the State Department came out and said, well, you know, they're just protesting because there's not enough COVID syringes or something. Right. And that's all doo-doo. It's complete caca.
There's a lot of strong Christians there, I know, in Havana. Richard, have you heard anything about...
I'm trying to look it up here because I've kind of had a brain freeze here, but I actually did a trip to Cuba about 7 years ago with a pastor named Manny Hernandez, based out of Dallas, and he actually has a series. I'm not sure. I shouldn't talk too much about this because we were actually detained at the airport and... for about 2 hours when we got in there because they found out that Manny was bringing this TV news guy in. I mean, we didn't announce it. We were just trying to fly over the radar. But he's got a ministry, and I will get this information to you. I pray about him every day, Manny and Glenda Hernandez. Mm-hmm. Castro actually, and again, this is my experience. Castro was apparently toward the end of his life had a very, very much a softened heart, largely because of a sister who's is a devoted Catholic. But he was actually allowing these sort of, they were home churches. The way the system was set up is that they had just small churches. Let's just, of course, it's kind of the original model for churches. And there were hundreds of them all over the country. And Manny and his ministry were helping to support them, but they were able to do it openly. And the way it was described to me is that they got a little too big. Yeah, they might get their heads cut off as far as the church, but that they were allowing more freedom for that kind of thing in Cuba. I got to spend a little over a week there, and it was real nervous because we were followed. Some of the group that went with us made the mistake of sitting around talking politics in the hotel bar, and they were recorded doing that, and we were threatened because of that. And many said, "Don't talk politics. Don't get it. We're here to do Jesus work. We're not here to talk politics."
And your guests.
People say stuff when they think that nobody's listening in their point I would make about that is I don't get involved with politics at all, whether it's Cuba or anywhere else, but there are good things going on. There are people working even in places like Cuba and that was another thing. I've talked about this before. Channel 4 allowed me to get some stories on TV. I came back, I shot video with my camera. We had to smuggle a video out because we thought they were going to confiscate everything. So it came out 2 weeks later than I did. But I was able to actually get a couple of stories on local TV about his ministry and some of the things they were doing. And we were also able to get the story out about they were able to fly a little girl who had this really bad spinal condition in to Children's Hospital or Scottish Rites Hospital. And they did this wonderful groundbreaking procedure that gave her a normal life. And there was some really neat stuff that came out of that. But God is working all over the world. I've worked with ministries in China and India, for example. The India's prime minister really cracked down on Western missionaries about 10 years ago, and he's pretty much driven them all out. And yet, God still works with those people left behind. That the Indians have their own church. They don't need the Westerners there to tell them how to do it. So,
well, we have some friends. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Paul, do you have some friends when you pastored that were missionaries anywhere up in that area?
No, I had pastor friends that, you know, made a lot of trips and things like that, and still do. Even the retired pastors, you know, they seem to have to do that right now. Interesting enough. Richard, I'd like to come back to you for just a second and because I think it's important that people hear this part of your journey. When you were with us last October of last year, you made a statement that your faith walk became serious. And sometimes when we talk about sharing our faith with other people, I think in conversations with Joe, we've talked about this, the things that we were taught, the churches we were in. There was a thundering pulpit saying, you've got to be a soul winner. You've got to be a soul winner. And you had to know the four spiritual laws and the Roman road, et cetera, which we were accustomed to. But there was very little emphasis on just being the person that God has made you to be and finding great joy in that and sharing that, living your life that way. So the question to you, Richard, is what was it that triggered your faith walk becoming serious? You know, and obviously you're affable and you're approachable and, you know, you're just a real delightful person to talk to and to be around, I'm sure. But when things clicked for you, what was it that was the, was there a trigger event or what happened? Can you share that with us, please?
Yeah. And I think I talked about this the first time, but it's worth repeating because it is my story. And really, Commander was talking about that earlier about, you know, learning the Bible and all that. But people don't relate to that. People want to hear your story. And so, yeah, that's part of my ministry is just to tell my story. And I was raised in the church. I was raised in a good, strong Lutheran church household and family in Minnesota. And fell away from it, you know, as a college student and stuff. And you know, we got kids and thought, oh yeah, my kids have to be raised in the church, and got back into the church. But we were just, my wife and I were, we attended every Sunday, but we sat in the back of the church and we just kind of like, the last song is over, we got out of there as fast as we could. And we never really got crucially involved in the church. And the turning point, and this is what you're asking for, was Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And we had run into a couple at church that were about our age, and they were asking about if we wanted to be involved in a small group. Any church that gets big has to start with the small stuff. I mean, if you're going to get big, you got to have small. So the small
Richard, I've got 3 minutes. Keep going and tell them how they can get a hold of you. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. My wife and I read The Purpose-Driven Life. Amen. We couldn't attend the meeting. We were traveling in Peru. We read The Purpose-Driven Life. And when we got done with The Purpose-Driven Life, we were convicted that it calls you. Pick a ministry. Get involved. We picked missions work. And that changed our life profoundly. Amen. The friends and the love and the brotherhood and sisterhood that we have experienced. Mm-hmm. I talked about some of that earlier tonight. All flowed out of that. Mm-hmm. The Purpose-Driven Life was a catalyst, but the Holy Spirit does it. Right. But yeah, that was the catalyst for us.
Right. Boy, that was great. And how can they get a hold of you if they have information about missions they'd like to find from you, like we took down?
Okay, I'm going to give you an email address that's pretty simple. Richard Ray, RichardRayTX, as in Texas, RichardRayTX, at yahoo.com. I'll answer every email I get. Any of the missions I've talked about, we never did get to my documentary, which big things are happening with this documentary.
You'll have to come back now, Richard.
Let's do it again, Richard.
But yeah, I would love to come back and talk about the documentary. But RichardRayTX at yahoo.com.
Okay.
He didn't have time for the documentary tonight, guys. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. We're going to bring it back on the next one. And folks, let me tell you, if you get a hold of Richard this way, he will get back to you. The first time I called, you know, often you speak to people and they don't get back. He was right back. This man's heart is lived in his life and in his mind and heart, he loves Jesus. Last thing I want to say to you folks also, I mentioned it earlier, we could use your help financially to keep Raising Expectations going strong. We need your help financially. We have a lot of people. We don't have any big givers, but we have people who give from their heart, $20, $25 a month, something like this. Go to our website. The website is, as you know, bbsradio.com, bbsradio.com/RRaising. Capital E Expectations, and that'll do it. bbsradio.com/RaisingExpectations. There's a PayPal button there. That's all I got to say, because I'm going to leave this one on God, Richard. I'm going to say, Lord, you talk to people and have them push that button and have them also get a hold of Richard. And let's do this again. Now, when will you be back, Richard, real quick? You'll be back in August, end of August?
Yeah, we'll be back from, we're leaving for Alaska on the 22nd. We're back on the 1st. So, yeah, let's do something after that. And by that time, I'll have even more stuff to tell you about the documentary. So
fabulous. Cool. We'll get all the good news. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in today. You know, I think we're going to check out right on time. That's a big one for me. We don't have the big fox hammer, Richard, that comes in and hits me. But anyway, God bless you, brother. We love you and appreciate you. And on behalf of all of us, we want to say thanks. We'll see you sooner than you think. And those listening in tonight, be encouraged. Look to the Lord and start tomorrow on an adventure that he has just for you. Thanks for tuning in to Raising Expectations, your show. It's about the Lord and it's for you. God bless you all. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Hi, Richard.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, guys. Good to see you. See you next week.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.